Screening Room at screeningroom.com for upcoming show dates and ticket information.
Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
Welcome to Songwriters from Here and Away. This is a show that focuses on new and established songwriters from Atlantic Canada, across Canada, and around the world. Hello, and thanks for tuning into the show. My name is Robert Campbell. This week, I've got an interview that I did with Annie and Rod Capps. This couple lives down in the States, and we had a chat over Zoom. Annie Capps is the main writer, and Rod is the guitar player and support and partner for Annie. They have about 10 albums or something out now, and they have a new release, which we'll play some songs from, as well as they'll play live. If you're listening to this on the radio, then be aware that there is a longer version of this show, more than an hour, on the podcast platforms of your choice. So look up Songwriters from Here and Away on your favorite podcaster. Or get to our website, sfhaa.ca. Now, here's Annie and Rod to share some of their story and some songs. Thank you for coming into the Songwriters from Here and Away green room. This is our office here in Dartmouth. Whereabouts are you guys located physically today?
We are physically in the basement of our home in Chelsea, Michigan, just outside of Ann Arbor. I mean, for your listeners, I'm holding up my hand. We're approximately here. Just above the fatty part of my,
Yeah, right in the belly of the thumb.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. How long have you been there? Is that where you grew up, kind of thing?
No, we try not to count one of the years. We moved out to Chelsea in 2005, except for 1 year when we had to move back to Ann Arbor, and then we loved Chelsea so much, and we found another place back out here a year later. So,
gotcha.
Rod, on the other hand, is born and raised Ann Arbor.
Yeah, and Washtenaw County is really, but yes, I grew up in Ann Arbor, and I have always, for the most part, lived in Washtenaw County, except for going to school out in Chicagoland in the late 80s, and
a brief stint with me,
Annie,
in the Royal Oak area. Yeah,
yep. Annie came out of the, I guess, what would you call it, Birmingham, Royal Oak area?
Detroit. I like to call it a suburb of Detroit.
Just gotcha. 'Cause,
yeah. We floated around, outside of the big city for a while.
We met in Ann Arbor, and we lived in Ann Arbor as well as Chelsea, which again is just a little bit outside. So it's very.
I never spent time down there. I've only driven through and drove through Chicago and through Detroit, right, and all these different places down there. And there's some lovely areas down there. Really,
remind me where you are.
We're in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, Halifax. So we are on the other side of, Maine.
Yeah. Nice.
Is that
nice.
15, 16 hours or do you think down to Detroit or 17, 18 hours?
To get to your place, it's going to be about the 28. So, it's a haul to get over to your house. Yeah.
Sounds like,
I don't know. It's a bit of a haul. Yeah. But it's great. You guys have been playing and writing and working together for that long and more, I guess, eh?
Oh yeah. We started, theoretically we started in the 80s, but we probably really kicked off what we're doing now in the late 90s. After we got married and got ourselves over the cover band.
Right. So you had a lot of cover band experience as well, a lot of songwriters do. I think it's a valuable place to learn some of the craft by osmosis.
Indeed.
Yeah.
We very much, and some of your, actually, a fair amount of your songwriting will hark back to some of that. And the fact that...
We wanted to be rock stars.
We were very much rock and rollers when we were met, you know, and we played in different iterations of those types of original bands that would get 13 or 14 tunes together and do four gigs and sort of self-destruct, you know,
Once the pictures were, once you printed posters.
Yes, exactly. About a week and later. We had the photo shoot.
Yeah,
exactly. Built the website.
Oh, man. I mean, people, we had jackets in one iteration of it all, you know.
Well, that's not funny.
I know. Long and short is, it was good for craft, and it was good fodder for songwriting, and we made it through on the other side, and we get to play with similar intensities. I actually think an acoustic instrument is more dynamic in a lot of ways than guitars and drums, which sort of hit their own compression after a while. And the gigs are a lot earlier.
Yeah, right. We're home and in bed before a lot of our gigs used to start, right. Remember? Right.
Yes, I am all too familiar with that, and that's okay by me. Mm-hmm. So, and now I've seen a lot of releases, albums. How many albums do you have, and tracks and stuff do you guys have in the archives?
We are working on, right now, our 10th album.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm counting, well, I'm not counting my solo project, but I'm counting two earlier releases that we don't talk about, typically.
I have a couple of those as well.
Yes, yeah. Right. So don't okay. We all?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are sophomoric with a little less.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I know, yeah. But, you know, there are, gosh, some of our peers are working on their, you know, 34th record.
Sure. Like
some people are just absolutely so prolific. Yeah. We took, you know, big gaps. And so we started probably our very first record we put out in early 2000.
Yeah.
Probably just when I say early 2000, I mean the year 2000.
I'm going to skip ahead to later in our conversation so that we can get to a track right now. This is Annie talking about Lightning Strikes.
Lightning Strike is the very first song I wrote for the Songsmiths. And Rod and I had just gotten back from New Orleans, the Folk Alliance International down in New Orleans. And I mean, it was our first time going to the Folk Alliance in a long, long time. And when I saw that they were going to be in New Orleans, I'm like, oh, we just need to go because we can write this trip off. and so we did, and it was beautiful. It was really cool. And so, you know, I came home with all this imagery from New Orleans and then got invited to be part of this songwriting group and had to write a song that was due at the end of February 2020. And the prompt was If Only. Mm. And, I mean, frankly, those are two words that I don't like. Yeah. You know, like the very first prompt of this songwriting group that I joined, like, was If Only. And I'm like, oh, because that's no good. I don't want to wallow in the world of If Only because, you know, that's a kiss of death, right? So, you know, and I try very hard not to.
I could have been a contender.
I know. It's just like, oh, if only I hit it. Well, it's too late. If you're saying those words, it's either too late or it's not going to happen. Or just do it. Anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway. I don't know how. This was just a total exercise in fun and imagery. And I have a magnetic poetry wall that I use sometimes has funky little turns of phrases on it. But I also had the words written down. I don't know where I got it. Have pipe, will dream. You know, thinking of pipe dreams.
That's great.
Right? Yeah. And I just started with those words and that's mm-hmm. where the song came from. I still have those, have pipe, or, you know, that little thing that I had written. I forgot all about that. But it ultimately became a song for people who, you know, the idea that lightning only strikes once or never strikes twice in the same place. The idea that somebody, you know, just was passionately something that was very bad for them. Happen to them, but they want it. They want more of it, you know? So you figure it out. Like somebody who doesn't know when something is bad for them. So the metaphor therein lies.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah.
But I also just love the way this turned out musically. Rod's playing the viola on this song and it's got just this beautiful
Yeah, we had
intensity
a lot of fun
and
putting this together. This is a track that Michael Shimon did as a drummer, did an exceptional amount of work too.
So. Yeah.
slot machine. Snake eyes, ace as high as a kite. If only there could be another lightning strike. Spin of the bottle, luck of the draw. Living every day like it's Mardi Gras. Looking for your face on Frenchman Street tonight. If only there could be another lightning strike. But you only hit once, and you hit so hard. You threw me off my game with your electric charm. Was that really you or just another look-alike? If only there could be another lightning strike. Refilled my prescription with the holy man. Whatever it takes to forget what you felt like. Cause you only hit once, and you hit so hard. You threw me off my game with your electric charm.
Yeah, I think as we played with different people and we encountered different groups of folks and things like that, the collections of songs grew and got to the point where you could pick and choose. And,
yeah, I'll tell you something, though. Just, you know,
it's become a very comfortable process. That's what I wanted to
do. Right. But yeah. We did not have a lot of recording studio experience in our very first record that we made. We had a 900 square foot little ranch house in Ann Arbor in the middle bedroom. There were three bedrooms, you know, next to each other. And the middle bedroom that was probably 9x9 was what we called the office. And we made a little studio out of it. And a friend of ours sold us a cheap version of Pro Tools. And we made that record with him and me. And then our friend, you know, it was all this sort of early on experience of doing everything remotely. Our friend in California did the mixing.
He took the hard drive out.
Took the hard drive and, you know, something, I don't know. I don't remember the nuance of it, but it was, and then after that, we went into the recording studio for the rest of our records. But like the very first one we did, and now, of course, the last several, where you see me right now, we're making our records.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And we accumulated enough chops and enough gear that we can catch our instruments well. If we need to spice them up, if we need to mix them a certain way, we have a studio, Big Sky Studios in Ann Arbor that we use.
Right. Well, you have that microphone in front of you, Rod, which is the ear. You got the Shure 7, I think, looks like.
Yeah, SM7, yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that looks like the ear shot?
Ear Trumpet Labs?
Ear Trumpet, yeah.
Delfina, yeah, the ear trumpet.
Yeah. Yeah,
we like the way this catches the voice and the instruments together.
Yes, they are a fabulous microphone.
Yeah, we use that for all our live streams. I use this one for all my vocal tracks. Yep. I mean, for the last, I don't know, we bought this.
Yeah, several we happened into ago. One of these with an engineer just putting it up as a scratch vocal for her, and it has a notch that's really nice with your voice.
That's probably 15 years ago.
Easily.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Not that you don't sound good in other mics, but it certainly, again, yeah. feels true to me.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny, you know, you said about doing the recording remotely and sending a hard drive back, and now you did that 20 years ago or whatever, and that was long before remote recording became a thing. And you had a Shure 7 about 15 years before everybody else did. Now they're popular.
I can't even. Yeah, I mean, honestly, we just were winging it. We didn't really know what we were doing, but it became a very. It just got really comfortable, and you know, other than one record, we've made all our albums in the same studio,
right?
And in Ann Arbor, as Rod mentioned, Big Sky right. Recording. We worked with two different engineers there. The first one we worked with moved out to California, and this last several records have been Jeff Michael is his name. He's the owner of the studio, and he's terrific. And, right. you know, if it ain't broke.
Keep we going. Think,
yeah, yeah, right? Now, my all-female record, my solo project I did with out in Grand Rapids. Kalamazoo with a different engineer because, you know, Jeff's a boy. And I wasn't letting any boys work on that record.
Right. That would be the definition of an all-female record. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I get it. Yeah. And, yeah, so the process is pretty organic for you guys. And I've heard a number of tracks, not all of them, of course, but I've found that you've got your sound, you've got some great lyrics and some great writing going on. And you've done really well, I think, in your region and otherwise. Have you been touring a lot?
I wouldn't say a lot.
No.
You know, and certainly not as much as we'd like to. We've been, you know, as you know, because we met through the Folk Alliance International, that we started, you know, networking and making a lot of connections of folks in the Midwest area, but we've also gone over to the Northeast region and we've gone to the Southeast region and have been really fortunate to find little pockets of places where there are some venues that like what we do. And so we were able to tour a little bit out east, Maryland area, Pennsylvania, and then this, and New York, and then this, last month we went over to Kansas and Missouri and found, you know, had a nice little tour over that way. But a lot of house concerts and a lot of small venues that are, you know, have their own kind of...
The bread and butter of the folk musician, right?
Yeah. Right, right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yep, so we're working on it.
Cool.
You know? Yeah.
Just wanted to butt in and remind you to check out Songwriters From Here and Away online, sfhaa.ca. We have all sorts of stuff up there, including all the podcasts.
Hey, everybody, this is Chris Jackson on CFRC, letting my love shine bright, 101.9 FM.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Egg Salad, a brand new release from local jazz musician Oscar Evans. This is an original jazz composition mixing Brazilian rhythms with classic American swing styles. A bold and funky musical exploration featuring some of Kingston's finest jazz players. Catch Oscar literally everywhere and anywhere in Kingston and keep up with the latest by following him on Instagram at Oscar Mayfield Evans. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Egg Salad by Oscar Evans on your favorite platforms and enjoy it with us now here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
You're listening to Kingston's only campus community radio station, broadcasting 24/7, 365 on 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. Tune in for the best local programming.
Hey, Kingston families, looking for an unforgettable summer adventure for your kids? Look no further than Assas Camps right on Queen's University campus. Assas Camps offers English and French programming for children ages 4 to 12. Campers participate in crafts, games, experiments, field trips, and activities with special weekly guests. Assas staff ensures a safe, packed summer with memories that'll last a lifetime. Spots are filling up fast, so register now at assascamps.ca.
Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
I'm Principal Daniel Wolf, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, coming to you from Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario.
Hello and welcome to Absolutely Frivolous on CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Cindy. I'm here every Monday at 10:30, and I really enjoy doing this show. If you have not tuned in the past, you may not realize this is a comedy show. I'm not funny, but I do put funny stuff on the air. And today we have Alexandra Haddo. She's from the UK. And she will talk about various different things about her parents, her life in the UK, being born, all of those things. I hope you enjoy. Please remember that I have bleeped out any swear words that I can. But if you find any of the topics offensive or if I've missed a swear word, please accept my apologies. CFRC and I are not in the business of offending anyone. We try to make you laugh with the various things that we put on this show, but sometimes people don't quite click with what we play. Alexandra is a UK performer. She's been on the circuit for many, many years and is quite popular in the United Kingdom. She's based out of London and she's a regular at comedy clubs all over that country. And she is originally from East Midlands and the first in her family to go to university. She hilariously skewers the juxtaposition of her working class upbringing and her current life as an East London-based freelance writer and comedian. She's on social media. She has appeared on Comedy Central Live. She's been on BBC Six Music, BBC Radio 4, all kinds of different venues for her sense of humor. Please enjoy Alexandra Haddo here on Absolutely Frivolous on CFRC 101.9 FM.
So much for coming to my show, guys. Some of you might be here because you've seen me before. Some of you might be here because you read about the show and you thought it sounded good. And some of you might be here because I look like a slag on the poster. So, whatever your reason, thank you so much for coming. Also, there might be some like history buffs in the audience that think because this show is called Not My Finest Hour, that there's a Churchill element. Very much not the case. This show is much more we will f*** them on the beaches than fight them, you know? Both valid. No, it's called Not My Finest Hour because I wrote it about something I did that was very wrong, okay? And I wrote this show for two reasons. One of the reasons was that I felt like nobody ever just said sorry anymore, especially publicly, right? Politicians, celebrities, your most annoying friends on Instagram. Okay, nobody is just saying, do you know what? I f***ed up. I'm sorry, okay? Celebrities are the worst, aren't they, for this? I feel like celebrity excuses for bad behavior are getting weirder and weirder. My favorite one of recent times was Roseanne, okay? I know. Do we all remember Roseanne? From the 90s sitcom Roseanne. Okay, good. Now, a couple of years ago, Roseanne tweeted something racist. Okay, there was no way around it. It was horrible. And then a few days later, when presumably she realized that this tweet would have financial implications for her, she thought, I better issue an excuse as to why I've said it. And Roseanne's excuse for tweeting something racist was that her sleeping pills made her do it. Chef's kiss, all right? You know, I mean, not a great advert for the medication itself, is it? Being as she was, of course, awake when she tweeted it, so... not a great start for her. What I absolutely love, though, about this culture is that no matter how insane the excuse, there will always be fans of that person who defend their behaviour and provide some kind of evidence, right? I was scrolling down Roseanne's tweet, okay, for the replies, and I was half expecting someone to be like, can we all just leave Roseanne alone, please, right? Some medications can cause adverse personality side effects. Like, I had an antihistamine last week and joined the Taliban. Do you know what I mean? Just, like, stay vigilant, okay? I mean, to be honest, looking at some of the oldest and slightly bigoted members of my own family, if any medication was going to cause racism, it would be Gaviscon, wouldn't it? Like, it's like you're on that every day. What else can't you digest, Susan, right? Absolutely insane. All right, and celebrity notes app apologies. They are one of my favourite things of modern culture. Does anyone else love these? Yeah, okay. Especially when you've been out the night before. You've made an arse out of yourself. You're a bit embarrassed about your behaviour. You wake up, you're a bit hungover. You log on to Instagram and straight away, somebody's done something so bad that they've had to write about it over 3 pages in the notes app and post it to Instagram. And you're like, I'm fine. You know, like... you feel great, don't you, after that, okay? My favourite ever celebrity notes app apology comes from Ja Rule. The references are nothing if not current, guys, right? But Ja Rule was the co-organiser of Fyre Festival recently. Now, give me a cheer if you know Fyre Festival. Okay, yeah. If you don't know it, it was an A-list celebrity festival on a tropical island, and they invited celebrities and influencers and models to all have an amazing time and make all of us horrible muggles at home feel horrible. And then they got there, and they were having to fight over basic supplies like food and water. And it was just amazing, wasn't it? One of the best days of my life. Ja Rule was a co-organiser. And he issued his apology, which read, word for word, I am truly sorry, as this is not my fault. Which is just an instant 180, thank you, Jar. Just a side note, my friend thought it was pronounced Jar Rule for quite a long time. Also, like, people that we know, okay? Social media has made us talk and act in such weird ways. There's always women on my social media timeline that are saying things like, I'm done saying sorry. I'm an unapologetic bitch. And I'm just watching it like, I'm an apologetic bitch. Like, I'm really sorry, okay? There's all this weird kind of therapy speak online now, which means we never have to take accountability for something that we did wrong. And we've all got a friend like this. And if you haven't got one, mine is called Caitlin, okay? And she will post every sort of 6 months, she'll post something like this. The picture will be absolutely no relation to the caption whatsoever, right? It'll be her on a beach in Thailand looking incredible. And the caption will say something like, hey guys, sorry I've been a bit quiet on here recently. 212 followers, Caitlin. Sorry I've been a bit quiet on here recently, but I've been on a journey. I've realised that I need to live my truth. And I need to be more authentically me. I've realised that for this year, I'm just going to be trusting my heart. I've got my crystals. I've done the work. And I'm ready for you guys to just accept me for who I am. And I'm looking at it being like, Caitlin, I know that you f***ed your boyfriend's brother at a wedding. Like, either just say nothing or like stop with all this weird pseudo-therapy talk, okay? So I thought, I'll buck the trend and I will write something about, I think, the worst thing that I have ever done. That I am willing to talk about on stage for money. The worst thing that I think I've ever done is about 10 years ago, in my 20s, I had a relationship with a guy who was 16 years older than me. Yeah, I know. And the reason that that was bad was because if his wife had found out, f***ing hell, would I have been in trouble? I had an affair. That's what I'm trying to say. I had an affair. And as you can probably tell from that previous sentence, I was the single one. And if you're going to have an affair, my advice would be to be the single one. Okay? That's my insider tip from me to you. Right? Especially if I'm doing a show about it. Okay? Because if I was the married one and I'd done a whole show about having an affair, he'd be like, oh my God, what a cow. But if I pitch the next 45 minutes right, you might come out of here like, wasn't she brave? You know, so that's what... that's what we're going for. This happened about 10 years ago. I was working for a magazine at the time. That was my old job. And I met him at a party that the magazine was throwing. And magazines could throw parties back in those days because they had this mad thing called money. By the way, for any Gen Z in the room, a magazine is sort of like a website that you print off once a month, okay? And I had fancied this guy for a long time, from afar. I knew who he was because he was sort of famous, okay? He was a sports presenter, which is quite objectively a boring reason to be famous, okay? It was Gary Lineker. No, I'm joking. It wasn't Gary Lineker. I wish it was Gary Lineker. I wouldn't be here. Do you know what I mean? I did that once and a woman in the front row just went, no! I was like, calm down, Janet. It's fine. The leader of the free world is not wrong and you're fine. No, it wasn't Gary Lineker. I can't tell you who it was for obvious reasons, but to quell your curiosity, what I want you to do is I want you to picture a sports presenter in your minds right now. Don't say it out loud, but just, you're got him, yeah? Whoever you're thinking of, he was less famous than that, okay? Right, but I still thought is extremely cool because he was kind of a generation above me, right? And they were sort of the last generation to be able to afford stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like anything, okay? So I was I was really, really impressed by that. And I didn't mean for it to become a thing, okay? But I also did hook up with him that night at the party. And the reason that me and all my friends that I worked with thought it would be okay was because we assumed that him and his wife had an open relationship or some kind of open arrangement. And we assumed that because it wasn't so much that he had a wandering eye. It was more like, oh my God, is your eye okay? It keeps fucking other women. Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of... So naturally, you know, I thought, that's probably what it is. I'm not going to ask.
but that's probably what it is, okay? And I always used to, I was a picture editor at this magazine, I always used to have to put pictures of him at like a launch of a car or a watch in the pages, and I couldn't believe that he was chatting me up. And the other reason that I think I got into this was because I was craving some excitement, right? I was 25, 26, I'd been in London for like 5 years, and I wanted all these like romantic trysts and sordid affairs and whirlwind romances. And so far, all I'd done was date a lot of men called Rob from Clapham, right? The birthplace of bottomless brunch and marrying someone you hate. Like, I just... It's just not for me, right? And some of the guys were okay. But some of them weren't bad. I dated a guy who worked for the Green Party for a year, right? Yeah. Who would only have sex with the lights on. The irony. And he always insisted on wearing a single-use plastic as well. Do you know what I mean? I'm sorry. Stick to the brand, right?
Hi, I'm Danny Michelle, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 in Kingston, Ontario.
Did you recognize that sound? That's the sound of a healthy, well-cared-for cat. I truly hope you've been lucky enough to hear that sound before. The feral cat population around Kingston and the surrounding areas has grown considerably over the last few years. And thanks to organizations like Kendra's Community Kitties, these feral cats are being fed, medically cared for, spayed, neutered, flea-treated, dewormed, given winter shelters, and placed in loving homes whenever possible.
Hundreds of these special animals have been rescued by Kendra, and many of these wonderful felines are purring right now, safe and healthy.
Wow. But rescuing and rehoming feral cats isn't easy. It requires an enormous amount of time and effort, and there are a few ways you can help.
You can donate to Kendra's Community Kitties on their website, kckitties.com. Even a small amount will help pay for medication, spay and neutering procedures, and food and supplies to keep these felines sheltered and healthy in the cold winters or extreme heat of the summer. Because some of these kitties are not socialized, Kendra has committed herself to provide 22 dishes of food with fresh water every day, 365 days a year, to 6 feral colonies. Food prices have increased significantly, so donations of food and money are always needed. Funding assists with the process of finding homes for these cats as well, as it takes time and money to find the right individual or family to be matched with the right kind of cat. You can become a foster family for our feline friends. Go to kckitties.com and learn how you can care for and love a cat or even a family of kittens until they can be moved into their forever homes. At the colonies, Kendra plants the seeds of trust and socializes the feral felines when she brings them food at the same time each and every single day. So they're more accepting of humans when placed with foster families. But fostering a feral cat is no easy task. Kendra cannot take these cats from the colonies unless there are foster homes willing to commit to help these kitties gain trust with humans.
You can adopt one of these special cats or kittens. If you've already been thinking of getting a furry friend, reach out to Kendra at kckitties.com and she'll provide you with all the information you need to make this important decision.
Any help you can offer Kendra's Community Kitties will be tremendously appreciated. Not only by Kendra, but by the lucky feral felines she rescues.
And hey, maybe, just maybe, one day you'll get to hear
Panda say I love you.
Tune in Sundays at 11 p.m. for Orchestral Maneuvers After Dark with me, DJ Squared. Each episode features a great mix of new and vintage, Canadian and international, new wave, punk, post-punk, garage rock, pop, electronica, ambient, and even the occasional remix. Sweet beats are in store for all to enjoy. Join in the fun, OMD, every Sunday at 11 right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
see the tears in his eyes as he looked for a mirror everywhere.
Good stuff.
CFRC 101.9 FM is so thrilled to announce the launch of our brand new accessible website at cfrc.ca. Get your local news, stream your favorite shows, and stay up to date with upcoming events. You can share news tips, book a recording studio, request a PSA for airplay, and oh so much more. CFRC.ca was made possible through the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada and our amazing funding drive donors. Thank you so much.
Work till my kitchen is spotless, in hopes that my mind will be thoughtless. I put everything in its rightful place, it's true. My apartment's very clean without you. Got an extra key to my door now. Your underwear's not on my floor now. No more Hendrix or beer or cigarette butts, it's true. My apartment's very clean without you. There are children starving in Africa, genocide in Darfur. But the thing that really makes me sad is your toothbrush is not in my drawer. Yes, it's true. My apartment's very clean without you. Sweep away the mess with my mop and broom. No sound of sports from the other room. I found the last Boy Scout and threw it away. It's true. My apartment's very clean without you. I can stay up all hours and write now. No snoring keeping me up at night now. No alarm to wake me at 6 a.m. It's true. But my new bed feels too big without you. The economy's crumbling around us, and the whole world's getting too hot. But the thing that really makes me sad is the pair of socks you forgot. Yes, it's true. My apartment's way too clean without you. My couch is just a couch. My room is just a room. My home is just a house without you.
thumb on the pulse of global issues. Tune into Democracy Now!'s War and Peace Report, heard right here on CFRC 101.9 FM on weekdays from noon to 1 p.m. and rebroadcast again weekdays at 7 a.m. Democracy Now! Provides their audience with access to people and perspectives rarely heard in the U.S. corporate-sponsored media. Tune in or check them out online at democracynow.org.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
Prowl each night like an alley cat, looking for some new delight like an alley cat. He can't rust her out of sight, there's no doubt of that, 'cause she just don't know wrong from right like an alley cat. She meets them and loves
podcasts? Want to try your hand at podcasting? Why not make your mark and join CFRC's podcast network? Visit podcast.cfrc.ca. Check out the great podcasts already produced right here at CFRC and find out how you too.
To
Tune in Sundays at 11 p.m. for Orchestral Maneuvers After Dark with me, DJ Squared. Each episode features a great mix of new and vintage, Canadian and international, new wave, punk, post-punk, garage rock, pop, electronica, ambient, and even the occasional remix. Sweet beats are in store for all to enjoy. Join in the fun, OMD, every Sunday at 11 right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.